Hello and welcome back to episode
9.
9?
9.
Of the Impenetrable Fortress podcast. We'll be going to be covering week 6 of the NFL season. Next year, I think we need to number these in line with the NFL season. We're going to start at like minus 5 or something like that. We're going to count down so that episode 1 is week 1, and I won't have to do that at the beginning of each week. Anyway, we're glad to have you listening. James, I think the biggest news for this week is that our previously spectacular performance on the over-unders really fell off this week.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, on AlanJackaway.com, every week, James and I post our picks for games against the spread, which we've been consistently mediocre at, and over-unders for the games, which we had been getting about two-thirds of them right. And this week, we got about one-third right.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to blame some kind of ridiculous football that's been happening this season.
I think it's been
a strange year for football. I am a little bit upset with myself because I feel like if one of the two of us was going to predict ridiculous football, it was probably going to be me, right?
Yeah, well, you did last week predict something like three-quarters of the games to go over.
That's true. But I think, you know, based on what we saw this week, that was only marginally a ridiculous proposal.
Yeah, I suppose so. Not too much other news for this week. John Beeson got traded from the Panthers back to
the Giants.
Or I'm sorry, not back to the Giants, to the Giants. The reason I'm thinking back to is because he was beat out on the Panthers by Blackburn, who had been on the Giants. So,
yeah.
I don't know. We liked Beeson, both of us really liked Beeson coming into the year, and he really has not done anything. Is this an improvement?
It almost certainly can't hurt his numbers. He's moving from a remarkably good linebacking core in Carolina to a remarkably bad linebacking core.
So maybe big fish, little pond sort of thing?
That's sort of what I'm thinking. I think I do also believe this is sort of his last chance. If he can't get it together in New York, he may have some serious problems in terms of his career choices in the future.
Yeah, I think we also have been blessed as defensive players to not have a lot of major injuries that have happened, really.
Yeah.
We haven't had any major stars, I don't think, go out.
Will Fork's Achilles.
Will Fork's Achilles, but he wasn't a big fantasy star.
No, but he's not a big fantasy star. That's true. Yeah, I think in terms of fantasy football, everybody's pretty happy right now. I mean, mostly you're just dealing with bye weeks and not actual injuries.
In a week where a number of quarterbacks got injured, where a number of major skill positions got injured on the offensive side, it's nice to see your team staying stable in the defensive world. Mm-hmm. So you'll be able to pretty much roll with what you've been using. But we are going to talk about some of the performances from last week and some matchups to target after the break. James, let's go ahead and start with those Giants. New York Giants played Philadelphia. We had this theory about the Giants, which is, you know, or more about Philadelphia, which is to start your defensive players against Philadelphia. And it sort of worked out. Ryan Mundy has another good game. He's currently the fifth scoring safety, and I think I don't really see any reason that he should stop being a top 10 safety for the year. Do you?
Nope, I definitely don't think so. I mean, on the one hand, the Giants are so easy to throw against. You know, he's going to have to make plays every game. So I think his production is stable. He's a safe safety to have.
Yeah, it's really kind of outstanding to watch how few players on that Giants defense are doing well from a fantasy perspective. It's kind of that safety, and then Prince Amukamara is like our 14th cornerback.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, maybe John Beeson.
Yeah, now, probably.
It's like the only hope. I mean, for a team that we would think, you know, has been getting blown out and would be getting this kind of middle linebacker thing, all of those points have really been going to Ryan Mundy, so it's been interesting. And that continued last week as well, even against the, you know, frequently scoring Eagles offense.
Yeah, the Giants don't have a single top 50 linebacker.
Yeah.
Which is just kind of disappointing.
It's also hard to do.
Yeah, it's impressive in a really, really sad kind of way for Giants fans.
Yeah, I mean, so what is, you have it up right there, how many points do you have to have to be a top 50 linebacker.
Right now, it's around 36 or 37 points.
37 points. So mm-hmm. with them having played now five games, that's only making, like, six tackles, seven tackles a game
yeah.
for a linebacker on a team. I mean, that's not that much.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, that is definitely, like, substandard levels of production you would expect from...
Yeah, I don't know how much more we... I mean, maybe we want to pile on the Giants a little more. Do you want to pile on the Giants a little more?
I do.
Bad.
They're so bad. What is shocking to me... I'm going to stray a little bit from the defense here. But what is shocking to me is that, you know, watching the Giants play the Eagles last week, there were three drives in the game when the Giants had the ball where I was sure the Eagles were going to lose. There was the first drive of the game, there was the first drive of the second half, and then there was one other drive somewhere in there where I was like, oh no, Eli's figured it out. He's back to true form. The Eagles are totally going to lose. And then they would come and they would score a touchdown and they would come back out on the field and they would seem to have forgotten literally everything they had just done.
It's really amazing.
It was, yeah, it's truly spectacular.
They get Chicago this week in a game that I was going to talk about once we get to the preview. We might as well mention now that I don't exactly think that playing against Chicago and Charles Tillman is what's going to cause you to stop throwing interceptions.
No.
So
we decided Eli Manning, I'm sorry, is on pace to throw like 39 interceptions this year, I think is what we found out.
39. It's a lot.
Expect that number to go up during the Bears game, I think.
Yeah, the pace, maybe not. Probably won't crack 39. I don't know. Probably won't.
Probably not. That would be a pretty spectacular game to watch.
James, tell me about the spectacular, from a defensive perspective, New England-Cincinnati game. 19 total points scored, right?
19 total points scored. It was a barn burner if you, like... hate the Patriots and or football. I mean, it was kind of a strange game to watch. It was, you know, something that we haven't seen in, was it? It was like 58 games or something that Tom Brady had thrown touchdown passes consecutively
something
like in.
50 something.
Both teams' defenses actually played particularly well. I would say that you could see what not having Vince Wilfork does to the Patriots. Defensive line. I mean, I know that he's not been a big fantasy producer, but the Bengals offensive line manhandled the Patriots defensive line. Like, they ran the ball down their throat on, it must have been like 60% of the plays, and it worked most of the time. I mean, like, it was just, it was shocking to watch. And on the other side of the football, Geno Atkins, another definitely top tier defensive tackle, maybe the best defensive tackle in football.
Yeah, I continue to believe that from a skills standpoint, he's the best defensive tackle in football. His scoring has been good the last 2 weeks, but still isn't up there. I'm continuing to start Geno Atkins where I have him and not worry about him. I would not drop him for his bye week, which is not this week, but in general, I would not drop him for his bye week.
I don't think I would either. He, you could watch him destroy the Patriots offensive line. I mean, I don't think the Patriots had more than like five or six carries that went for positive yardage. He was he was destroying everything. He looked spectacular. I will say that it seems as though God has finally realized that Tom Brady is an evil human being, because on what should have been the Patriots' drive to tie the game with a touchdown, what had been a perfectly normal day turned into what can only be described as a deluge of, like, Noah's Ark level amounts of water falling all of a sudden. And you could see Tom Brady throw some of the worst passes I've ever seen, because he's throwing, like, the ball is just made of water at the point he's trying to throw. Like, I mean, it was so... balls are bouncing off of receivers that they should have caught, and you could see them just, like, stare at their hands like, how did I not catch that? And the answer is, of course, because there were gallons of water falling on them. But at the same time, I think brilliant defensive strategy on the Bengals' part for waiting to use that storm until last 2 minutes of the game.
Yeah, they really held it out.
Mm-hmm. I think they clearly saved up all the rain that could have fallen during the game for the last 2 minutes.
Yeah. Really, really strong. And when you have that kind of playmaking ability,
yes,
you know, to be able to unleash weather like that, it's really helpful for you long term.
Yeah, credit where credit's due to the defensive coordinator there.
Yeah, exactly. It is really impressive to me, legitimately impressive, that Cincinnati does this, and does it without two of their, let's say, top three defensive players, Michael Johnson and Leon Hall, both missing this game. So they're missing a top defensive end and a top cornerback, and still manage to hold Patriots to 6 points. Very impressive. And a defense that we continue to be very high on, I think.
Yes.
I'd like to talk briefly about Carolina at Arizona. This is a game that I was sure Carolina was going to run away with, and the game was a lot closer than it looked. Mm-hmm. Carolina and Arizona each had turnovers, and Arizona got a lot more yards after they picked off interceptions, more yards after fumbles, things like that. I thought that they got a little lucky. They obviously wind up winning by a decent margin, so they probably would have won anyway. But my main takeaways from this are that the Arizona defense is pretty good.
Yeah.
And getting Darrell Washington back helps a lot. I mean, he's in there on pass plays. He winds up with some crazy stat line. It's like 8 tackles, 1 sack, a forced fumble, and an interception or something. Holy for his first balls. Week back. Just some enormous stat line. And he, as I said at the beginning of the year, was a player that I had as either number two or three, with Von Miller being the other one before those two suspensions came out. So if you have Darrell Washington, you should be starting him every week, and there's really no other reason. The other takeaway from this is that Patrick Peterson had another good game, and I think that any time they play against a team like Carolina, where there's really only one receiver, you can sort of count on Patrick Peterson to have a good game.
Right.
Tyrann Mathieu still does well in this game, so it's not like he get what... They're not necessarily exclusive. Mm-hmm. They can both score, but if they're playing against a team that really has a top wide receiver and not much else, which I think, I don't know, Carolina's maybe the best example of. Arizona's probably the second best, but they obviously pretty unlikely that they'll play a game against Arizona. Maybe San Francisco would fall into that. Mm-hmm. A couple teams, that only have one top receiver, I think that those are games where you're going to really want to use Patrick Peterson. The rest, in other games, I continue to be a little skeptical of him, just because I do think teams are going to continue throwing away from him a fair amount. You want to talk about the least defensive game of the week?
Yeah. The Broncos-Cowboys game?
That would be the one.
That would be,
90-99 points scored. Exactly. Didn't quite get to 100.
No. Just sad. Missed it. Tied for fourth in most points ever scored in an NFL game.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Obviously, this game is a lot of fun, but what can we take away from it from a defensive perspective? Anything?
So, as much as I hate to say it, the Cowboys obviously have a... I think what we saw here is two remarkably good offenses, as much as I hate to say that about the Cowboys, matched up against each other, and I think that both of those offenses have huge potential for big plays, and you'll find that a lot of the points that were scored were on sort of big breakaway plays, long passes, weird, breakout runs, things like that. The Broncos are clearly hurting from a number of injuries. They lost
Wesley Woodyard.
Yeah, he went down early in the game, and you could see that the Cowboys' offense picked up noticeably after that.
Oh, I thought so for sure. The middle of the field was wide open for them. I think, if Wesley Woodyard, it remains to be seen if he's going to miss any more time. It may just be, that he missed that part of that game.
Right.
But fortunately, they get Jacksonville this week, and then next week they get Von Miller back to play one of those linebacker roles.
Yes.
But I do think that if Wesley Woodyard doesn't play, it makes it much easier to attack the center of the field, probably even with Von Miller back. It also, led way to another good Danny Trevathan performance.
Yes. And
he's been really reliable, playing in that
he has
linebacker
been.
Spot.
Yeah. This isn't something that I've thought too terribly much about, but you've got Von Miller in our league. Do you think his return is going to impact Trevathan's performance?
No, because I think that they use him a lot for... I mean, maybe a little bit. The short answer is a little bit. I think Trevathan is still going to be like a starting linebacker. I think there's still going to be plenty of tackles for him to go around. Mm-hmm. I do think that, Von Miller is used a lot as a pass rusher.
Yeah.
And will have a lot of sacks, and that... That's not really what Trevathan
does.
So I don't think that it's a huge impact on Trevathan, or Woodyard for that matter.
True.
I mean, last year, Woodyard and Von Miller were both productive, and I think that all three of those guys will be able to be productive. The defensive line, really for both of these teams, continues to be totally underwhelming.
Yeah, it really is. They were both defensive lines were manhandled by the opposing offensive lines.
Yeah, or even just maybe it's not even manhandled, just that these defensive lines aren't that good. I mean,
it is
DeMarcus
true.
Ware is a great player, but getting older. Anthony Spencer still isn't playing. That's part of the reason we liked the Cowboys defense so much at the beginning of the year, is they had these two good defensive ends, and now they really only have one of them. And I think it makes it too easy to defend them, and they're just not getting the kind of pressure they need.
Yeah.
And Denver's the same thing. They lose Dumervil. They really don't have, you know, star players rushing the passer until Von Miller comes back, which now is really soon, but
at the beginning of the season was.
So far, so far this year. I mean, both of these teams, in my opinion, really come down to one linebacker and one safety that you can play at the right now.
Right.
I agree. For Dallas, that's Sean Lee, who has totally, you know, had kind of a slow start, but has been great for the last few weeks, and Barry Church at safety.
Yeah.
And for Denver, it's Duke Iheanacho at safety, and it's Woodyard and Trevathan at linebacker. So I guess it's two linebackers there, and it'll be three when Von Miller comes, but I really think that's it. I don't think you can play anyone else.
Yeah, Rogers Cromartie continues to be a terrifying prospect for opposing quarterbacks to throw at.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, he was not really a shutdown corner at any point in his previous career, but with Champ Bailey still not playing, he's not getting targeted enough to be a fantasy factor, which is interesting. I mean, surprising to me.
Right. I mean, I think the Cowboys threw at him three times last night.
I guess...
I think one of those turned into a touchdown, but that's...
Well, yeah, what are you gonna do? A lot of throws turned into a touchdown.
That's true.
I mean, I guess what it is the other cornerbacks are even worse, and it's easier to throw at the other guys, but it is definitely a surprise to me that he's not scoring. And maybe when Champ Bailey comes back, he will start, but I wouldn't trust him right away anyway.
Yeah.
So you probably have to hold on all of those players.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you going to do?
I don't know, but what I can say is I'm going to be watching the Raiders for the rest of the season because, my God, are they fun to watch. I don't know if they're going to be good. In my heart, I still think that they've got six wins in that roster somewhere.
Well,
even more so
another
since
one,
last
so
night.
They're up to, they're up to two. That's
that is
pace
a third of the
six.
Way there. Yeah, they're two and three, right? So yeah, that puts them on pace for six.
They can do it.
They can do it. I think they can do it. I really do think they can do it.
They've been a lot better than I thought they would be.
I was really impressed with Terrell Pryor. I'm really impressed with the young receiving core, with sort of Denarius Moore leading a really young receiving core in the absence of Darren McFadden, and really stepping up. You saw a lot of young guys stepping up and making some pretty impressive plays last night. And on the defense, I mean, Lamar Houston is the standout of
although,
Oakland defense.
You know, we said coming into the year, we were like, we don't know what's going on with this team. It's all new players. We don't know who's going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
But I think now we know who's going to be good. It's Lamar Houston.
Yes.
It's Charles Woodson.
Yes, Charles Woodson still.
And it's Tracy Porter. Those three players have been pretty reliable, at least over the last 3 weeks anyway.
Yeah, Charles Woodson has been putting up more than respectable numbers for, especially for a safety who just got his first interception last week.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, he's been putting up, you know, 8.5, 9 tackles a game. He's been really, I think another thing that you got to think about is he's, from a fantasy perspective, but he is a seasoned veteran, and he's able to come into this team that everybody thought was, you know, no one had any idea what was going on. The team was probably super confused. And he can sort of help lead this young defense on the defensive side of the football while Terrell Pryor does his
Terrell Pryor things.
His Terrell Pryor things.
As we
things.
Might call
yeah.
it. Yeah, I think that all three of those players, Tracy Porter, Woodson, and Houston, are starters at this point. Like, at this point in the season, we really can look at the stats and look at what players are going to be producing in the roles that they're in. And there's still some things that are up for grabs or whatever, but, you know, at this point, if a player has been doing it for the last 3 or 4 weeks consecutively, my instinct is this is the time when you start bailing on the players you loved from before and moving to the players who really have been standing out to you.
Yeah.
Speaking of players that I loved from before, Pat Angerer, still bad.
Yeah.
What happened in this game, James? You watched this game, right? Indianapolis-Seattle game?
I did watch this game. I was very surprised by what happened in this game. I will say that the Colts defense won them this game, for sure.
Which is impressive, because we thought they were bad. Yeah. I still think they're bad.
I'm not 100% sure. It was the Colts defense getting pretty lucky, I think. They had one...
That never hurts.
They had one sort of crazy interception return for a touchdown. They had a punt block return for a touchdown. No, I'm sorry, a field goal block return for a touchdown. And they made Russell Wilson run a lot, which maybe isn't necessarily the sign of a good defense, but it was a lot of... Sure, Russell Wilson is a quarterback who they'll run the triple option with. There are designed runs for him, certainly, but most of his running in this game was actually on broken plays, where, like, the offensive line evaporated in seconds, and he was like, oh, shit, I can't throw the ball to anybody, and he would escape for 10 yards. You know, he got maybe 6 first downs on these scrambles, but at the same time, you're still, like, you're getting in his head. He's got to think, I got to get this ball out faster. He's having If the plays are being broken, you're still disrupting the flow of the offense, and I think that helps a lot. I also have to say that the Legion of Boom was surprisingly disappointing in this game.
Yeah, a couple deep passes get by them.
T.Y. Hilton straight up beats Richard Sherman on a deep pass down the left side of the field for a touchdown, and then 3 or 4 drives later, T.Y. Hilton ends up totally uncovered deep down the right side of the field. Sherman loses him, and Earl Thomas does not pick him up, and he basically waltzes in for a touchdown. It was a shocking display of ineptitude from what is probably the best secondary in all of football.
I would say the best secondary in all of football, so I don't know. Yeah. I think that Seattle got kind of unlucky in this game. There was,
I will say that without the 2 touchdowns that the defense scored, which were a little bit luck, Seahawks win this game. So
Yeah. So
I don't know.
It's kind of a weird game. I thought that, they get a safety instead of a touchdown on that weird blocked punt thing, which I'm not really sure about that. I understand the call, but it's pretty close, right? It's a thing that you agree could go either way, right?
Absolutely.
So, it's kind of a tough loss for Seattle, but they'll be okay.
Okay. They'll recover fine. And again, Golden Tate had a fantastic game. Marshawn Lynch had a fantastic game. Russell Wilson had a fantastic game. I think they're all feeling pretty good about themselves, frustrated by the loss. So, but I wouldn't worry if you were a Seahawks fan.
Let's before we wrap up our review, let's do a couple more, fantastic good games from players. Osiem Inyura? We were wrong about him.
Totally
wrong.
He's
been great.
I don't know. Yeah.
He was great last night. He's been great for the last few weeks.
Read that so wrong.
Yeah. Player we were not wrong about, who was also great in that New York Jets stunning defeat of the Atlanta Falcons, was Muhammad Wilkerson.
Yeah, he continues to produce like a monster.
Yeah, we had him. I think we deserve some credit for this. We had him as the number 2 defensive tackle after Geno Atkins.
Yeah.
And obviously he's been better than Geno Atkins. Right. He's been better than everyone there.
Right.
Except maybe D'Antari Poe. It's pretty impressive to see these players disrupting the line like that, play after play. And, again, Geno Atkins has been doing that as well, just not getting the fantasy stats.
Right. I think that Wilkerson and Atkins are definitely on the same plane of talent. It's just that Wilkerson's has been translating into fantasy points more by,
And that might even out, but, if you have Wilkerson, you're definitely very happy, and I think you will continue to be happy. The last player I have marked down to talk about in the review is Morgan Burnett from Green Bay. He was a safety that we had ranked probably top 5 coming into the year and started his first game last week. So, he had been injured in the preseason. He gets 5 tackles and a pass defense, which is not like a stellar safety line, but I think that he will continue to improve as he gets integrated back in there. He is a guy who is getting, many, many tackles in the past for a Green Bay team that people usually have to throw on, so I like...
When your offense can put up points like that, expect other teams to have to throw at you.
That is exactly what I expect. Do you have any other games you wanted to review from last week? I think that's... We've covered all the ones I was really interested in talking about.
This one is simply for bragging rights. I just want to point out that Sam Bradford, the player of my heart, did what I, but literally no one else, believed he could do, perhaps, and scored 34 points against the Jaguars to lead the Rams to a 34-20 victory against the worst team in football.
Yeah.
Which says maybe much about, you know, their skill. But people, Sam Bradford might not be everything that I hope he was, but he is better than the Jaguars. I want that. So I want there. That on the record.
So there, Jaguars. Do you want to also put something on the record about the return of your least favorite player in the NFL?
No, but only because I don't know who you're talking about.
Brandon Weeden.
Oh God, yes. Oh, I
how could you not
excised
know?
Him from my brain. That's how much I hated him. I will say this. At the beginning of the week, I predicted the Browns were going to win this game. And I predicted the Browns were going to win this game because I really liked the Browns minus Weeden. I like Brian Hoyer. I like...
Yeah, Brian Hoyer done for the year. Might be a lot more Brandon Weeden.
No, and I'm so upset. I would be a huge Browns fan if Brandon Weeden would just leave the team.
He probably will next year.
I love their defense. They have the best named defense in all of football. I love rooting for them because they're such underdogs. But with Brandon Weeden on the team, it just makes me want to vomit. I can't.
All right. Well, with that, let's move into the preview for next week. It seems appropriate to begin our weekly preview with the first game of the week. That is the Thursday night game between the Giants and the Bears. We already talked about the Giants a little bit in our opinion on what players are useful there, but I just wanted to take this opportunity to say that this should be a great week to start those top Giants cornerbacks and also Major Wright. Those top Bears cornerbacks and Major Wright. I think that with David Wilson out, the Giants really don't have anything to do other than throw.
Nope. And it's not like... It is easy to see the Bears getting an early lead and the Giants being forced to throw the ball, even if they did have a running back, which they don't.
It's also easy to see an interception for a touchdown, all that kind of stuff that you associate with those Giants, or I'm sorry, Bears players. I don't know why I'm mixing these up, but I personally think this is going to be a big game for Chicago. I think that if you have any of those big three defensive backs, Tillman, Jennings, and Wright, you can start them even more confidently than you already were.
Yeah.
Realistically, you're probably starting all those guys every week.
Right. It shouldn't influence your decision. But just buy a case of champagne, get ready to celebrate when they score 40 points.
We just want to get your hopes up so that when this inevitably doesn't come true, we'll be on the hook for it.
Exactly.
At least you'll have someone to blame.
Right.
That's really what we do here.
When your significant other asks you why the television has a hole in it, you can blame Alan and James from the Impenetrable Fortress.
Yeah. What were they doing? They were telling me that Charles Tillman was going to be great, and then he did nothing, or whatever.
Uh-huh, We're just trying to help you out, listeners.
Yeah. Is there another game we can help them out with?
I want to say that everything I'm about to say over the next 2 minutes is going to hurt me a lot to my core.
Oh, that sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it.
Okay. If you have Cowboys defensive players, you should start them this week. They will score a lot of points beating up on my poor, poor Redskins.
Aw, poor Redskins. Not that I'm saying this isn't true. Again, I don't think that the Redskins are, like, that generous of a matchup to opposing defenses. Is it just...
I feel like this week... I feel like the Cowboys helped themselves out a lot by what they showed us last week, in that against a substandard defense, they can score nearly 50 points. And I do believe, as much as I hate to say this, that the Redskins' defense is worse than the Denver's injured defense.
Yes, I agree with that.
Yeah, I don't see a reason why the Cowboys wouldn't put up a similar number of points. I don't see a reason why the Redskins wouldn't be attempting to play ridiculous football in a way to get back into the game. And I don't see a situation where the Cowboys' defense, especially the secondary, doesn't have a massively productive night against... I mean, obviously, my heart is screaming at me for every time I say this, and what I would love to see happen is for a rejuvenated RG3 and Pierre Garçon and Leonard Hankerson to tear the Cowboys' secondary apart. Mm-hmm. But my brain does not see that happening. So I think that this is going to be a bad week for the Redskins. On the other hand, not that if you do have D'Angelo Hall and Josh Wilson, I would not worry at all about starting them off of this bye week, because
Dallas has shown they want to throw.
Yeah, they love to throw. And also, I mean, if you have Ryan Kerrigan or Perry Riley, stick them in too. They're going to get tackles, because DeMarco Murray is nothing to laugh at.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Dallas is going to score 50 points or whatever, but I do think that they'll be productive on offense, keep the, you know, get enough first downs to make Redskins players that you normally would consider starting startable. I agree with that part. Mm-hmm. Let's talk for a little bit about the largest favorite in NFL history, technically tied for the largest favorite in NFL history, with the 1966 Baltimore Colts against the then expansion Atlanta Falcons. A game that they did not cover and only won 19-7 or something like that.
So, sounds disappointing.
So we don't think that Jaguars Broncos is going to be 19-7 though.
I know. Maybe 190-7, but
so what I wanted to talk about is we already talked about Denver, and I think that you can pretty much use our advice about Denver week in and week out. Jacksonville is an interesting team because they're really, really bad.
Yes.
Opposing teams get a lot of plays against them.
Yes.
They run up the middle against them.
Yes.
It's probably the optimal team for our middle linebacker on a bad team. And yet, Paul Posluszny is only like 10th or so among linebackers, which is good and startable.
Definitely
and
good.
I would start him this week, even again. I'm not like concerned that the Broncos are going to be throwing too much and he won't get work. I think that there'll be plenty of runs that go to his area. So, you know, I'm definitely playing Paul Posluszny this week. But it's interesting that only on Jacksonville, the only two players that you might consider starting are Paul Posluszny and Cyprian.
Yeah.
Who John I would Cyprian definitely start this week
is
against the team that's going to throw a lot.
Definitely in the top five safeties in fantasy football right now, and there is literally no reason to think that he won't have anything other than a spectacular game.
Yeah.
I mean, Jacksonville will lose, probably by upwards of 40 points, but he will make a lot of plays.
Definitely a lot of plays. A lot of points to be scored, a lot of plays to
and go. We also know that Peyton Manning has no problem, like, not slowing down his offense when he's beating the shit out of teams.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, because, you know, Jonathan Fox, their coach, is not really a run-up-the-score type of coach, or at least he wasn't in his previous coaching gigs.
I wonder
if this is just Peyton Manning trying to set a record before he gets too old to set a record, or what's going on there.
Yeah, I have to say that I think I appreciate this kind of football, not because I like to watch senseless beatings, but because I feel that, like, firstly, it's more exciting football. Mm-hmm. Secondly, easing up on a team just because you're beating the crap out of them is more patronizing than just scoring a bunch of points against them.
Do you like to watch sensible beatings?
Yes. Sensible beatings are totally reasonable. I am a hockey fan.
I sort of disagree with this. I mean, I think that, you know, if the Broncos, let's say they're up 28 points after the first half, and I would not have any problem with Peyton Manning not coming back, for example.
Yeah.
I think that that's, you know, maybe it's patronizing. Like, I'm not even going to say it's not patronizing, but I do think that it's smart for a football team that's way ahead or way behind, potentially, to pull their starters out and save them that wear and also, you know, get some of their rookies or some of their bench players some more reps in, you know, a game that's out of hand. Even before Matt Schaub was benched, we saw the Texans putting in TJ Yates at the end of games where they were way ahead or way behind.
Just
to, you know, get some practice, basically. Because at some level, like, you know, these players can only get hit so many times, right?
True.
So
That is true. Football is a rough and tumble sport.
Yeah, in general, I'm not particularly in favor of sensible or senseless beatings. But I do think that there are situations where pulling those players out kind of makes sense. I don't think that, you know, we usually worry about that for defensive players. Maybe at the end of the year, people who are injured start getting pulled out. But
right.
I don't think that this is something that really comes into play on the defensive side as much because, you know, teams just don't value defensive players that way. So,
yeah.
Which, you know, I disagree with, but that's how it is. So what are you going to do? Let's see. I just wrote down Muhammad Wilkerson versus Pittsburgh ! Times like 100.
There should be no reason you weren't starting Muhammad Wilkerson, but if there was some stupid reason you weren't doing that, do it this week.
Yeah, why not take a guy who's been routinely just tearing through offensive linemen against a quarterback who takes, like, the most sacks of anyone in the NFL, and an offensive line that's so bad that they traded for Levi Brown of the Cardinals, who's, like, the worst left tackle in the league.
Yeah, I just see, man, you know, so the Jets have the three rotating defensive tackles. They have Richardson and Wilkerson and the other one whose name I can't remember. But you could play all three of them this week.
Yeah, sure.
They'll probably all score 10 or 15 points.
Yeah, if you are looking for a defensive tackle, I think those guys could be helpful because it just, you know, Pittsburgh can't block and they want to run so that, you know, they'll be running up the middle at these guys. They just, almost can't lose.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow this is going to turn out to be wrong on us, but
yeah,
it's really hard to imagine how.
Jets fans take heart. Also, Jets fans don't miss this game. This might be the last chance you get to see the Jets, like, handily destroy an opponent.
I haven't really looked at their schedule. I don't know. Do they get to play Buffalo when E.J. Manuel's still not in?
Because that would be an opportunity. Point. I don't actually know about that. That would be a good opportunity to destroy a team that... speaking of which, Bengals!
Bills.
Bengals-Bills. That's going to be a problem for the Bills. It's going to be great if you own Bengals defensive players. Of course, it's usually great if you own Bengals defensive players.
It is. They've been reliable. And, you know, I don't know anything about Thad Lewis starting quarterback for the Buffalo Bills this week, so I don't know if he's a guy that takes a lot of sacks, but I think it's worth a guess that he will be, especially since most of those defensive players you're playing anyway from Cincinnati. So I do think, I guess if you are on the borderline about Ray Mawalaga, let's say, Mawalaga?
That's very close to the right pronunciation.
This might be a good week, because I do think that they'll probably run a lot to try to take pressure off of poor Thad.
Mm-hmm.
My only concern in this game is that maybe the Bills won't get enough offensive snaps, but...
Well, the thing about that is, you know, this game could look somewhat shockingly similar to the Patriots-Bengals game, because I think the Bills' offense might be ineffective, but also... The Bengals offense might be pretty ineffective, too, because the Bills defense is pretty good. I mean, with Kiko Alonso sitting there in the middle of the field, the Bengals... I mean, Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis is a talented, running back?
He's fine.
Yeah.
I've had some arguments with people about this, but he's, you know, he's a reliable...
Yes, exactly.
He's a reliable running back.
Yeah, exactly. He's not necessarily a big play running back, but I just think that the Bills defense is good enough that... Neither team's offense is going to be particularly dominating, and the time of possession should be roughly equal, I think, during this game. So I wouldn't worry about starting my Bills players, is what I'm saying.
I agree. I don't really have any other games that I have specific notes about. We're a
this
little over on time. Do you have another one?
Kind of boring. No.
You know, it's weird. There's a lot of big favorites this week.
Yeah.
Last week, almost all the games were really close. And this week, there's, you know, a lot of games where the line is over 6 points. A lot of games that are projected to be blowouts. So we'll see, you know. I'm guessing there'll be some surprises in there, as there are every week. But it really is kind of a week where you're just kind of starting the people you're always starting. And there's not that much that exciting to happen, you know.
Yeah.
Even the things where we have recommendations, it's like players you were probably starting anyway.
It's going to be... I don't really have anything else to say about this week except that... Eagles fans! Your season is already looking a little bit touchy at this point.
Hey!
Number one
in the NFC East. Number one in the NFC East.
Yep.
Tied for the best record. 2 wins in division. Also known as both wins.
Coming
from in the division. That is enough for first place in the NFC East. It is true
that if the playoffs were held right now, the Eagles would be in it.
At 2-3.
In it to win it.
Yeah. I do legitimately think, like, 8-8 could win this division. And the Eagles could do it. I don't know. I mean, Tampa Bay this week is a great matchup. I mean, we like Tampa Bay's defense.
Right. Here's my thoughts. This is why I wanted to bring up this game. Maybe not from a fantasy perspective, but from an Eagles fan's perspective. You've got What's his face? The new guy.
Mike Glennon.
Mike Glennon, yeah. And now, I love rooting for backup quarterbacks that get starting jobs when the guys in front of them are terrible.
Well, and Nick Foles, of course. Both of these teams. I mean, it's Michael Vick wasn't terrible. He got hurt.
But right.
Both of these teams are starting unusual, unexpected.
Yes.
Maybe.
Yeah, you might say that. I think football fans watch this game. It'll probably be spectacular or a spectacle. But also, Eagles fans, try really hard to win this game, because if you guys lose to Glennon and the Bucks,
It would be pretty embarrassing.
It would be pretty embarrassing. You do make a good point that I'm not sure it would put you out of the running to win the NFC East, because who are you competing against?
It's hard to get out of that running right now, but it would definitely be bad. And, you know, it also, the Buccaneers have a good defense, but the rest of their team has really not looked very good,
right.
So, you know. If the Eagles can't make it happen against a team like the Buccaneers, you know, even if they got in the playoffs, you wouldn't be excited about them.
Right.
Because that's just, you know,
kind of disappointing.
I mean, realistically, even if they got in the playoffs, you would be excited. I don't know. Eagles games are fun to watch.
Right.
Their defense is not good enough to win, like, a championship.
No.
But they were good enough to pick off Eli Manning a bunch of times. So
yeah.
Maybe they're good enough to pick off Mike Glennon a bunch of times.
Yeah.
Why not?
Eli Manning is probably objectively a better quarterback than Mike Glennon, so...
That's the noise I have to say about that. I would just say... I mean, I'm not an Eli fan, but I just, you know, my current feeling about Eli is something like...
Yeah, I mean, so. The talent is there, I just, not all the time.
It's been kind of surprising. Yeah. All right, well, that's probably all the time we have for previews. You know, remember to check out alanjackaway.com, where we will have our player rankings for the week. We'll also have our picks, so you'll have an idea of what we feel about the games in terms of high scoring, low scoring, who we think is going to win. Not that those have been particularly reliable. Although, again, over-unders were very reliable until last week, so,
yeah.
You know, at least...
In the aggregate...
We're going to bounce back.
We are better than a coin.
We sure are. Mm-hmm. And that's... the other thing that we aim to do.
Yeah.
That could be our motto.
Yeah. And our mascot.
Yeah. It'll just be a coin and a greater than sign or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get a two mascots. The coin and the greater
us.
Than sign. You wear the coin, I'll wear the greater than sign.
There we go.
Yeah.
You just have to make sure to stand in the right place all the time. Anyway, so that wraps up, I believe, our preview of week 6 of the NFL. Thank you for listening to episode 9 of the Impenetrable Fortress podcast. As always, you can email us podcast@alanjackaway.com. Our theme and interstitial music is Dear Eliza by Ned and the Dirt. You can get their album Giants on iTunes or CD Baby. Our podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. You should share it with your friends. It's also in iTunes, so that's a good way to share it with your friends. It's been produced and edited by Sarah Gonzalez. James? We talked last week about Condoleezza Rice's bid for NFL commissioner.
Mm-hmm.
I started outlining my campaign for this same role, and I've decided that each week I'm going to add one more thing to this campaign.
Good. More planks for the party
More
line.
Planks for the party, exactly. Last week, I said no more overtime during the regular season. This is a player protection issue and also will give us more ties, which I like.
Yes.
This week, I'm going to say this. I don't like the Thursday games.
They're too early.
They mess with fantasy football. You can't trade players that are in those games. If you have a situation with someone that's injured in a Sunday game, you can't wait for things. It's kind of a mess. I thought that the midnight Raiders game was great.
It was. Also, the game turned out fantastic. It was really exciting to watch.
Yeah, and I just like the idea that football's on late into the night. So
here's
my proposal. Not sure if it's Saturday or Sunday night. Maybe Saturday night would be better, so people don't have to work the next day.
Yeah.
I know that the NFL has a deal with college football or with the NCAA that they won't show games on Saturday, but there's no NCAA game at 8:30 on Saturday. Or maybe there's a few, but it's not going to conflict that often. Thursday games move to Saturday night, 11:30. What could go wrong?
Absolutely nothing.
They'd be up against Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, who cares? They would win that for sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess that would be a problem for NBC or whatever, but I think this is a better time slot for them. It works better with, you know, fan schedules.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, and it gives the teams more time to prepare. Like, this 4-day week thing is
yeah,
obviously tough on the teams.
It can be really hard
ready,
on teams,
you know?
Yeah. you can see the monstrosities that happen when you are going on 4 days of rest.
Yeah, although we say they don't look ready. There was one player in the Thursday game who certainly looked ready. James, do you want to give our hit that did not tackle someone of the week?
Yeah. So, new segment.
I don't think this is a recurring segment. We cannot guarantee this segment will ever occur again.
That's true, although boy do I hope it does. Kiko Alonso wins this week's hit that did not cause a tackle of the week by leaping straight up over the Browns' offensive line and wrapping his arm around whoever the hell...
Yeah, Willis McGahee,
yeah, the Browns have running. Yeah. So, definitely doesn't get a tackle in the statistics. Probably slowed McGahee down enough for other people to get to him to get the tackle. And also, maybe the most athletic play I've seen. That was like, you know, Troy Polamalu in his youth. He just leaps straight over the line and wraps his arm completely around him. Yeah. It was amazing. I love Kiko Alonso and everything that he does.
I love any player that, you know, thinks they've timed the snap count that well that they're willing to just jump leap over a thing. It's the best. So.
It's so fantastic.
You know, that I thought that was great. Kiko Alonso is great. I think he's like the number one linebacker in our format right now.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously he's a guy that you're playing every single week and you can feel pretty confident about him. You know, every year there's at least one of these rookies that really steps up.
Last year, Luke Kuechly. This year, Kiko Alonso.
Yeah. And Luke Kuechly has been good
he's
as well.
He's been great.
He hasn't jumped over anyone.
Not yet.
Not that I know of, anyway.
Luke Kuechly, if you're listening, which I know you are, to this podcast, it's on you now.
You gotta jump over a guy.
You're it.
You gotta do it.
Yeah.
You're not gonna
make
this segment.
And also, I'm sorry. I know if you're a rookie, you could just tie him. It's your second year. I need you to jump over two guys. Two guys at once.
That's
or
tough.
Two guys in the same play. They don't necessarily have to be at once.
Not even just in the same game, in the same play.
Yeah. I will accept in the same game. I would really love to see in the same play. Yeah.
All right.
Bonus points for same play.
Luke Kuechly. Number one fan of the Impenetrable Fortress podcast.
Yes.
So, I assume that he will take up our call.
Mm-hmm.
Jump over everyone.
Watch the Panthers game this week, guys.
Yeah. James, our outro advice doesn't really fit with what we just told Luke Kuechly to go.
That's
but,
true.
Nonetheless, from Alan.
And James.
Stay low.